Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we're going to share a special day with you. Last month, a bunch of us women got together for drumming and spoken word. It was an amazing day. We share this with you as an expression of gratitude and thankfulness. We're thankful for our community and women gathering together.
Yeah, it was an amazing day, like you said, and what was really great about it is that we recorded a lot of what we did, and so we wanted to share it with the listening audience tonight. We have about 10 different songs to share tonight, spoken word and drumming with a little flute on the side. You'll hear joy, sorrow, jubilance, and prayer. As far as who's speaking tonight, we have Lori Lynn and Marshall here from Sonoma County, as well as Diana and me. And then from the East Bay, we have Zimbwala, Sky, and Earthlin. So it's going to be a dynamite, compelling radio show tonight. But first, here's Greg Moralia with news and events.
Say it. Tell it like it is.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for Sunday, November 6th, 2011. In a landmark decision, the IRS has announced its agreement with an historic court ruling that allows tax deductions for medical care related to gender transition. The decision announced Wednesday and officially called a notice of acquiescence relates a case brought by the gay and lesbian advocates and defenders on behalf of a transgender woman who was denied the ability to take advantage of an existing federal income tax deduction for medical care costs because the IRS considered her transition-related care medically unnecessary. In 2010, the U.S. Tax Court overturned the IRS policy disallowing tax deductions for medical care related to gender transition, a policy the IRS defended by citing a 2005 guidance from the IRS Chief Counsel. Wednesday's announcement now means that the IRS now agrees with the Tax Court's 2010 ruling. And in Boston, Daniel Avila, who worked on policy and research for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, resigned, possibly under pressure, after he wrote a newspaper column that linked same-sex behavior to Satan. Avila's recent column in The Pilot, the official newspaper of the Archdiocese of Boston, was roundly condemned. The paper later removed the column and apologized for it. Avila later wrote in The Pilot that his views don't represent those of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. A spokesman for the group said that Avila offered to step down this week, and the offer was accepted. The Tennessean newspaper reported that current and former ex-gay leaders are backing off previous assertions that gay people can be, quote, converted to heterosexuality, especially after a study of Exodus members showed that they were not cured of same-sex attraction. A study in the Journal of Sex and Miracle Therapy tracked almost 100 longtime members of Exodus, a group that encourages gay people to drop same-sex behavior. Of the three-quarters of people who remained in the study over the 7 years, only one-quarter said their orientation changed. Alan Chambers, president of Exodus, says sexuality is complicated, but he's now careful about strongly suggesting people can switch orientations without major effort. Another group called the Sight Ministry teaches that God wants people to be heterosexual, but also says it cannot cure people of homosexuality. Members of such groups who see themselves as successful admit that they still have same-sex attractions. They just deny themselves the satisfaction of gay relationships. And from the entertainment world, in a plot that will undoubtedly set conservatives' hair afire, Glee's teen couple, Kurt and Blaine, will lose their virginity to each other in an upcoming episode this Tuesday night. Glee is heating up for the sweeps, with two of the show's most popular couples losing their V-cards in the episode titled The First Time. Entertainment Weekly's Tim Stack says that Kurt, played by Kurt Colfer, and Blaine, played by actor Darren Criss, finally decide to take the next step in their relationship. He said it's all handled very delicately and is incredibly moving. He added, "I can't think of another network series that's taken gay teenage relationships so far or has been so progressive." Meanwhile, a parallel story features the show's on-and-off-again couple Rachel, played by Lea Michele, and Finn, played by Corey Monteith, navigating their emotions via a musical number, of course, around Rachel's decision to lose her virginity to Finn. The catalyst for Kurt and Blaine's decision to consummate their relationship is a romantic triangle with a new gay warbler member, Sebastian, played by Grant Augustin, who sets his sights on Blaine. There will also be a terribly funny scene in which Kurt, Blaine, and Sebastian run into Kurt's closeted, reformed bully and Santana's beard for the prom, Karofsky, played by actor Max Adler, at their town's only gay bar. The episode will no doubt attract controversy, sending anti-gay and abstinence-only groups into a tailspin with what is purported to be a sensitive, mature handling of something the majority of teens go through in their high school years. The show has already been called propaganda by religious right activists because of its proadly gay characters, but Sweeps Months was made for this kind of controversy. And here locally, Napa Valley College announced that it will be working with City College of San Francisco to create a new LGBT studies certificate program to be offered on the campus in Napa. The program will provide training for public school teachers to better prepare them to deliver new curriculum required by the Fair and Inclusive Education Act, as well as to prepare students for transfer to City College of San Francisco, where they can earn an associate's degree in LGBT studies, or to UC San Diego for their new undergraduate program in LGBT studies. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat Radio News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
If you've just joined us, this is Living Proof on Outbeat Radio, and we are going to have a show on drumming and spoken word. And you just heard some drumming to give you a little taste. We are a group of women that met over the summer, and we decided to get together and do some drum with the added of spoken word. What you are about to hear is us jamming together and sharing. It was a magical time, huh?
Mm-hmm. What you just heard was us jamming to a beat that Zimwala laid down. She was on the dunes, which was a do-do-do-do-do-do. And then we all just came in and improvised around it. It was just so great. So these next two tracks are spoken by our sister Sky. And we'll be back after she's done. Enjoy.
Elders and indigenous people and spirit people and medicine people all over the world. They make these little short video clips, and someone sent me hers. And there's one little passage in here that I had to put in my book, and I want to share this one first, okay? She says, I vested authority from my ancestors, and I celebrate who I am. In my world, I'm perfect. I'm beautiful. So beautiful that all waters want to reflect my image.
Oh, that is tight.
No, I just love that.
That is cool.
Say that again.
Yes.
That is cool.
She says, I vested authority from my ancestors, and I celebrate who I am. In my world, I'm perfect. I'm beautiful. So beautiful that all waters want to reflect my image.
Thank you.
I dropped my locks I have my locks for about 21 years, and I dropped my locks earlier this year. And it wasn't initially by choice. It was some health stuff going on for me. But once I got to that place of release, and then I understood the larger implications, and I got away from the cosmetic, I claimed it, and I had to stand in front of my altar and claim it. So this release and flow. I acknowledge the presence of ancestral midwives hailing from the spirit world and conjure women in the material world who've guided me through portals of transformation, transition, reflection, and mourning, and mourning, and mourning, and mourning. I release that which no longer serves my higher self. I flow into a new cycle of mindfulness and wisdom. Me, no pause. I release and flow.
Wow, that was amazing.
I know, just the bells. I mean, when we heard those bells ringing, someone just threw that in, you know. Skye is a pretty amazing poet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I love the beat of the drum. That was beautiful. And I just want to give some props out to Skye because she was the inspiration behind our drumming together. And not drumming together, but drumming and adding the spoken word.
Right.
Because she came over to the first drumming circle and shared this beautiful piece with us. And we say, wow, that's a great idea. We should do more of this. And
yeah.
So that's when it was birthed,
yeah.
I think.
Props to you, Skye.
So this next piece is a two-part poem I wrote last year for the YWCA Changing Hurt to Hope campaign in honor of October's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I just want to let you know that this piece was not done at the drumming night, but we thought we would add it in. So the first part starts out me sharing my childhood experience, and it ends up as myself as the adult healer that I am today. And so Sheridan is playing the drums in the background, so I hope you like it.
As I wait for the sound. The screaming, the yelling, make them stop. Please, God, make them stop. The crashing, the tussling, please make them stop. Will somebody stop them? The cursing, the loudness, bodies hit the wall, doors crashes open, echoes surround me. This familiar image before me, do they not see me? Do they not hear me? Do they not care about me? The rifle, both gripping the barrel, neither letting go, venom outlined on their faces. Terror hits me like a weapon, first in my heart, then in my head, the biggest blow to my gut. My life knocked out of me. Soul loss. Somewhat awake, but mostly I'm gone. The only way I survive. I lose my vision. They disappear. But I have my ears. I whimper, powerless. I pray steadily, exhausted, but still standing, as I wait for the sound, as I wait for the sound, as I wait for the sound. Now I stand before you stronger and wiser, having moved through the darkness. No longer victim, no longer powerless, no longer waiting, but offering, teaching, empowering, healing. I'm on a mission to awaken, to free the spirit from the suffocating hands of shame, fear, self-doubt, low self-esteem, and powerlessness. Committed to do no harm with an open, receptive, and compassionate heart. I'm embraced by the wisdom and guidance of my guides, angels, ancestors, teachers, Creator God, Mother Earth, all who feed my soul. Now I stand before you as healer, never forgetting the pain and anguish that moves in me, that which inspires me to move, to be active, not reactive. Now I stand before you more fierce than ever, soaring with eagle. Now I stand before you, basking in the light. It shines on me. It runs through me. And it flows out of me and touches you. Now I stand before you. Now I stand before you. Now, I stand before you.
Boy, that was powerful, Diana. Listen, in the first half, you called it waiting for the sound, as I wait for the sound. I'm curious if you can just elaborate on what sound that was.
Well, in the poem, midway the first part, it was about the rifle. And so I decided to, title it that because that's what it was when I was a little girl, maybe five to seven years old. Just standing there waiting for this rifle to go off
between
my mom and dad. Oh. So it was very traumatic and very hard. And so that's what I created as a result of that.
Mm. So, thank you so much for sharing that. Wow. And this next piece is going to be a rap by our sister Marshall. And she calls it just not regular rap. She calls it spiritual rap. Enjoy.
All right. So I kind of wanted to say what I wrote. I wrote this. This is different writings of mine that I've written over time. And I put them together into what I don't really have a name for it, but it's like spiritual rap. And what I was thinking is that I really like rap, but I don't really like the, all that stuff that's in rap. And for a while I was like, well, I need to come up with some rap that, and bring rap up out of that. And blah, blah, blah. I don't need to have that fight. I just need to do what I do. And so this is what I do. All right. So here we go. Been down a long time, it's time for me to climb. Surrounded by my peeps, I'm back up on my feet. I'm sounding off, so here's what I'm going to share with you. This is my house in this universal stew. Divine originality is the way it came to be. Divine originality is what helps me to see. I'm seeing that spirit, yes, God sees. Knowing it's nothing but the hot and holy truth of me. Walking around with such divine clarity and recognizing there to be a just one life. You see, I ain't here to do no ruckus imitating because I flow forth from the original OGS nation. People of this world and every universal nation, what I'm about to do, I'm sure what no one expected. It's okay, because I'm just here as a blessing, knowing, what a hot and holy message. Divine originality is the way we came to be. Divine originality is what helps me to see. As I said, I'm signing off, so here's what I'm going to share with you. This is my house, and I'm all about seeing truth. Taking care of businesses is taking care of you and me. As a spiritual warrior, that's what I'm here to do, you see. Divine originality is the way we came to be. Divine originality is what helps us to see. Get ready, start your engine set, let's grow. I'm the optimist at work, and I know I can flow. Because spirit's like my rhythm, a spirit's like my beat. A spirit's what helps me stand on my feet. A truth has to be applied in order what moved me. Faith in advance is, it's what grooves me. Align mind, body, soul, for deep recovery. We awaken to your essence, can you see? Can you feel what the truth of thee? Whole body business, is what's working me. Can you see I'm so free? And it's my inner spirit that's working me. Come on, let's take a little walk with me. Divine originality is the way it came to be. Divine originality is what helps me to see. I'm seeing that spirit. Yes, God sees, knowing it's nothing but the hot and holy truth of me. And walking around with such divine clarity and recognizing there'll be a just one life. You see, I ain't here to do no ruckus imitating because I know I flow forth from the original OGS station. Knowing I am divine originality and what is speaking from a place of truth. Sincerity. I can't stop. I won't stop. Don't think I'll ever drop as I'm surfing and turfing with the universal law. Universal law is what my grandson, and I'm sure here to have some universal fun. I'm like a gospel choir. What? I never tire. And I show trust my spirit ain't ever going to expire. I'm polished at the podium, a legendary vibe. Relying on my spirit, what to get me high. Assisted with an attitude. A gratitude. A clean machine. Really working this dream. Divine originality is the way it came to be. Divine originality is what helps me to see. I'm seeing the spirit, yes, God sees. I'm a miracle of love, yes, the seed of the one. I'm sure here to have some universal fun. Hallelujah, praise the life. What an amen. Thank God I know I'm responsible for my conscience. I'm well organized and I'm ready to fly. Trusting that the spirit's going to help me to rise. Going about it, recognizing, unifying, realizing, giving thanks in relation to a higher, greater me. Divine originality is the way it came to be. Divine originality is what helps me to see.
Divine originality. You go, Marshall.
Hey, woo!
This next poem was written by me. I wrote this poem because I left my job. I've been a teacher for about 18 years, and I think it's in the introduction there, so I'll just let it speak for itself. This poem is called Saying Goodbye.
So this is a poem I wrote, can everybody hear me? Yeah. Because I'm quitting my job. Yay. I've been a teacher for 15 years. And it's been very, I don't know if I want to say painful, but I've gone through a lot of pain around it. Because I really don't want to go, but it's time, when your body just tells you it's time. And it's time, because I am tired of thinking up lesson plans, and I'm tired of being verbally abused by my expelled youth, and I'm just tired of commuting to San Rafael every day, and tired of falling asleep when I get there, and sleep when I get home, and just, it's just, I'm tired. And I feel like my soul's dying there this year, and I'm sure when I'm away from there for a while, I'll maybe be able to pin down why, but right now, it's easy to blame kids, and it's easy to blame homophobia, but, you know, I probably have more than my share of verbal abuse, and I've been able to work with the kids and shed it for 15 years, and I'm just not able to do that anymore, and it's going inside, and so I know it's time. So I wrote a poem about it. It's called Saying Goodbye. And you probably wouldn't believe this, but I'm a little on the nervous side because I've never done poetry with drumming before, and I've never really said my poems out loud before. My soul is dying. Has the fear monster finally grabbed such a hold on me that I'm being suffocated? Or is it courage? Is it strength to say I can't do this anymore? It's crazy to leave. Everyone will think it. But does this matter? It's not their soul. It's mine. I'm trying to save myself. Otherwise, I will die a slow death. When I get to the gold gates, I don't want to have regrets. I would be so sad that I didn't grab hold of the joy that was in my grasp ever so closely, grabbing in my imagination and my fantasy and never acting on my truest nature. I don't want to become a bitter, complaining, whining, negative person. So I'm yelling out, let me out! Can anyone hear me? I'm crying inside. So many questions. Did I make the wrong choice all those many years ago? And if I did, is it too late to right my psychic pain? From the depths of my truest knowledge, I know I'm in the wrong place. My bones are telling me. My veins are running, galloping with the news of my despair to my heart. And even though it's pumping steadily, it's pumping sadly. Because this is the end. My energy is gone. And before I'm psychically wiped clean, I need to leave. Before the dis-ease finds me, I have to leave. Before I'm kicked to the ground and left for dead, I must leave. I am trying to save myself. I have to throw out my own life jacket. And I have to grab on, not knowing where I'll end up, only trusting that there is another way that I can help the world.
Wow, that was powerful. Each time I hear that, it's more powerful. I remember when you started thinking, Cher, about your leaving, and when you were coming home and saying your soul was dying, it was like, you got to get out of there. And it's very clear that you needed to leave, and I'm so happy to have you home with me, and I can see your joy again. I'm so happy for you. Mm. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. So this next piece is from another Sonoma County resident, Lori Lynn. And in the beginning of the piece, we started it off and she's already in the middle of talking, but she is talking about the rain.
There was something in me that just went, oh God, really? Already? We're here. And I was expressing this to a friend of mine who wrote me over the email. She's like, are you kidding? I love it. There are negative ions everywhere. When the sky turns gray, I come alive. And I'm like, oh. I might be missing something. So I kind of invited her to help me. I'm like, okay, well, there's bug.
I know.
I love you. So I invited her to help me. Okay, I want to try to think like that, or at least try it on. Try on the possibility that all that grayness is possibly something good, and all the dark and the clouds and all that stuff might be something that works out. So from between the time that we started that conversation and now, Sheridan invited me to come to this and said, hey, bring a poem if you want to. And I thought, oh, I don't know what to bring. I don't really feel like looking for anything. And then the other day, this poem that I'm going to read to you showed up in my email from my friend who loves the rain. And she said, just in your spare time, read this. Mm-hmm. So her name is Barbara McNally, and she's awesome. And she wrote this. If I were the one in charge, the creative director, the weather maker, the sky, my stage, the sun, be shuffled backwards. Promised a leading role, a starring role. Later, later, diva, later. I hustle in a cast of clouds, scruffy, gray, dark, gloomy. The ruffian, the rogue. Trees and reflections of glory from lakes and rivers. If I were the weather maker, in the sky, my stage.
Wow, that's an interesting
good,
piece.
I know, I love the drumming and the storm and all of that.
Yeah.
This next piece, I'm sharing another poem I wrote in this year for the YWCA's Changing Hurt to Hope campaign in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I talk a little bit before, so it'll be self-explanatory. So here it is.
So I went to the ocean, Cher and I, and she did her thing. She did art and stuff, and I did my thing. I looked up, and I talked to my mom, and I said, Mama, what is so important that I need to bring forth to this gathering? And so this is what came up. So my piece is, Thank You, Mama. Tears roll down my face, remembering the pain of my parents' struggle to communicate. Unable to speak the language of their minds, of their hearts,
of their souls. Their truths camouflage, their needs and desires restrained, their essence distorted, their spirits unseen. Intimate moments were a constant roar, bullets of disdain, threats and humiliation, a destructive system stabilized in chaos. The only option for peace? To run away. My mother, a runaway. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama, for knowing, for trusting spirit, for saving me. Mama, I've learned after many years of witnessing, I've learned by my watching the incessant pouring of pain. Mama, I've learned what not to do. Mama, I'm sorry for your hurt. Your struggle, it lives in me. Your light unseen, your wounding masked by thunderous rage. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry. Mama, I had to learn. What I witnessed affected me. I clammed up. I retreated into my shell. My true self, bound and guarded. I had to learn to set free my essence, reveal my light, honor my soul, respect my wisdom. But guess what, Mama? The skills you lacked, the skills I lacked, and the skills the ones before you lacked. This cycle has stopped. Kapoof, finished. Mama, I vowed not to subject myself to negativity. No one would hurt me, and I would hurt no one. Mama, I've learned to express from my heart, not my reactions. But with trial and error, I never lost hope. I have learned, oh yes, I have. Mama, I've learned after many years of witnessing, I've learned by my watching the incessant pouring of pain. I've learned what not to do. I've learned to be myself, fierce and strong and powerful and smart and loving and creative. No longer hidden within my shell, no longer distrusting and passive, no longer unimportant. No longer unimportant. Thank you, Mama, for saying enough is enough. Thank you for planting the seed that told me I could leave. The seed of my worthiness, my worthiness. Thank you, Mama. For leaving, for planting a garden of opportunity. Thank you, Mama, for saving yourself and for saving me. Thank you, Mama.
That was a pretty amazing poem, Ms. Diana.
Mm-hmm. It was a good evening.
Yeah.
It was a good evening.
Mm-hmm. I remember a woman coming up to me and totally relating to that because she was a mother. Mm-hmm. She felt like your poem validated her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A woman came up to me, too, and told me that the one thing that she's going to take away is that her mother did the best. that she could. And that was really validating in itself that I was able to help people be enlightened in that way. Like, wow, she did the best that she could do.
Yeah.
You know.
In our next piece, Zimwala is another woman who was at our gathering. And she shares her relationship with her brother in this next piece. And it is quite moving. We'll see you in just a minute.
This is just, this is not
what
mic.
Is this?
This is a monitor? This is just a digital voice recorder.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Breathe! Breathe!
Someone was entrusting, so she's like, yeah.
I know she was hot.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. She's like, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I know where you live.
You know, I'm just going to speak from my heart.
Yes.
And I thank my ancestors, and I thank all of your ancestors, and my sister on my left, all the way around to my sister on here on my right. Thank you for the drums. I'm grateful for many, many things. And, you know, life and death and my brother. And in talking about my brother a little bit, I kind of want to send out this love, you know, for all brothers. There was this time in my life, you know, I've always loved my brother. I have always loved my brother.
Yes.
Just because he was my brother, you know, same blood and stuff, mom and daddy, same. Mm-hmm. You know, made us relatives. I like that a lot, all my life. So it's, right now he's in this place where he's been for a little while. He had a stroke maybe 5 years ago, and he didn't get like immediate care. And so, because I love my brother, I pray for him a lot. I guess at this point I'm asking for you all to do the same, to pray for my brother, Ezell Kenneth Butler. So as I'm witnessing him right now, you know, and my prayer is to be able to show up for him, just to show up for him. And so this is the way I show up, because I do believe in many things, but I know that I, mama and daddy are right there with him right now, you know, that they're there with him, and grandma and grandpa, they're with him right now, you know. And so I told him that. I said, you know, that you let me know when you see him. Okay, let me know when you see them, because I know they're here. They've always been here. You know, you've never been alone. And I know you're not alone now. You know, and he just kind of looked at me, because he's not really been a spiritual guy. And I want the best for him. And I want to be there for him. And I want to be brave enough to be able to be there. And I want to be kind enough to be able to not cry so much in his face. And I want him, if I could, I want him not to be afraid. At this moment that he too knows, you know, that as scary as it is, he's not alone. And that there are people, there are beings, there are spirits that he already knows that are waiting for him and will be there for him. Oh. Thank you.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. Cymbala's piece was, it was really, as you can hear, it moved us all. It was very profound. We want to send many blessings to Cymbala and her family at this time.
Yeah, we just learned that her brother did pass in this last week. So we really want to, if you're listening, Cymbala, you know, tell you how deeply sorry we are about that. And it's so apparent how much you loved your brother, and he was so lucky to have you in his life.
Very much so.
Well, at the end of our day, Earthlyn is leaving us with her beautiful closing words, and she's closing the circle in this last piece. So we'll be back in a little bit.
Okay, everybody breathe. It's been a good day. The drones in the circle. Ancestors' voices. So ancestors, ancient ones, all those of our highest good, all of those who are enlightened, all of those who walk with us, we greet you and we honor you at this time. All the ancestors of each one in this circle have gathered with each one of their ancestors, making a circle around us. We thank you for being here with us, for having your voice, your rhythm, playing through us, your eyes looking at each other, reflecting back and forth ourselves, who we are as human beings, who we are as women, who we are as sisters. So ancestors, we thank you again for being with us. We shed our love upon you, and we pray that you are being healed where you are, as we are being healed here, and that our drumming is healing you as well. We thank all those ancestors who have come on this earth as healers, as seers, as gatherers, hunters, craftspeople, musicians, teachers, all kinds of ways of walking the path of life. We walk those paths, and we know that we are your descendants, and we know we have ascended with your gift today and at this time. So we thank all those unseen spirits whose names we do not know, but we know they're around us and who influences our lives and where we are. We thank those ancestors too, and we honor you and we acknowledge you. And we acknowledge all of those deities of the fire, of all the elements, of fire, of water, of the earth, of nature, of the minerals, of the wind, of the air, and the space. We acknowledge you and we honor you at this time. We acknowledge the ancestor trees, the beautiful trees that are surrounding us right here and right now, the four-leggeds that surround us and shape our lives, the winged ones that fly above, and the creepy crawlers that crawl upon the earth, and all of those who live beneath the sea from which we evolve from. We call you and we recognize you as our ancestors. We recognize the mountains, and we recognize the stones and the bones that lay beneath them. And we recognize all the sages and all the spiritual teachers that have crossed our lives, all the drum teachers who have taught us, and all of the musicians who have come in and given us voice in a different way. We thank you at this time for this circle in particular today. We thank you for all the rhythms of the words, all the prayers, all of that has come up through us. Thank you so much for allowing us to express ourselves in a way we can't often express every day. So we do not take that time for granted at all, that we've been given a gift today, and we really appreciate it. So I want to thank you for that. And so So we ask that all that we have received today, we walk into the world with it, and we share it with everyone else that we see from this point on, and that they see where we have been without us saying a word. They just feel that we have been someplace. So we hope that all of those who need the healing we have received, receive it from us, from the circle. So I just want to express these words and put them out into the universe, and all of those who need this kind of energy, that they get to receive it. Those who can't come and couldn't come, that they receive this energy, that we are able to come, able to do this. So I just want to say, Ashe, 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 Om Shakti Ashe.
Thank you so much, Earthlyn. Beautiful closing. It just wrapped everything up together in a nice blanket for all of us.
I like that, a nice blanket.
Yeah. So we hope that you've experienced just a little bit of what we shared and experienced on that special day. It was a glorious day of connecting and so much warmth flowing throughout each of our hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just special.
We really want to thank all the women who allowed us to air their pieces tonight. Zimwala, Sky, Earthlyn, Marshall, Lori Lynn. We want to thank you for taking that risk. You know, I don't know about anyone else, but I can just speak for myself. I've never done anything like this before, and it wasn't horrible. It actually was really magical and really beautiful. And I guess what Diana and I want to leave you with is you can create this yourselves also. You just get people who are willing to take a risk and speak from their heart. And it can happen.
Yeah, you have a lot to say. So, you know, create opportunities so that you can express these things that's inside of you.
And it is about creating.
Creating.
It's about creating. And Diana and I really didn't want to leave you with these words about you know, we're called Living Proof, and we are Living Proof that you can be creative and make this thing happen for yourself. And we want you to know. We want you to remember that you can be living proof, that you can gather your friends together, that you can have the freedom to express what's working you, what's needing to be expressed inside you. Mm-hmm. You can do all those things.
You can do these things.
Yeah. We will be back next month, first Sunday of the month. We'll be talking about something completely different, something very interesting, has to do with technology. Technology
and, relationship.
And relationships and how it gets in the way. Anyway, we hope you have a blessed month, and thank you for spending this 55 minutes with us. And until next month, good night.
Join us next Sunday night at 8 p.m. for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. And remember, you can always listen to past Outbeat Radio shows on our website at www.outbeatradio.com. There's also a place there for you to leave us your comments and suggestions. Oh,
singing, can't no one know at sunrise how this day is going to end. Can't no one know at sunset if the next day will begin. One more time now, can't no one know at sunrise how this day is going to end. Can't no one know at sunset if the next day will begin. Cry, children, cry.
You're listening to KRCB-FM Santa Rosa, community-powered radio at 91.1 and 90.9 FM, streaming live on the web at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.